Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus. We have been thinking together about a subject which is very, very important to us as Christians. And if we were to really believe the truth that we're discussing in this subject, we would be better Christians. We're discussing the subject, the example of Christ to the believer, how we follow the example of Christ in living our Christian lives. We have taken a number of different subjects. In the first message I gave in this series, I simply talked about why the example of Christ is important to us, and why it's more important than even the example of other people to us. I pointed out that this doesn't excuse us as Christians when we fail in the Christian life. It doesn't excuse us as Christians when we are unwilling to be examples and to be the right influence in other people. Nevertheless, we recognized as we discussed this first message that Jesus is the perfect example, and that people are without excuse in using other people as reasons for not going on. The unsaved person says, "If Christians are like this, I won't be a Christian." The Christian says, "If other Christians are going to fail me so much, then why should I go on living for the Lord? If other Christians are not living righteously, why should I live righteously?" We don't base our lives upon this. God will not accept such excuses from us. He will not accept them from the unsaved man. Imagine the unsaved man standing before God and saying, "There were so many hypocrites in the church. I was justified in rejecting Jesus." No, this man will be sent to hell, just like every other lost sinner. You don't use these excuses with God. And the main reason is because God has given us a perfect example. There is no excuse for rejecting Jesus. There is no excuse for going on in sin, going on in failure, going on rejecting the life that God wants Christians to live. Because God has given us the perfect example in the Lord Jesus Christ. And His perfect example removes all excuses. So we've considered a number of different things which have to do with this perfect example. In this message, I want to talk about the example of Christ in forgiveness, the example of Christ in forgiving us, and how this applies to our forgiving other people. I want to read first from Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 8. And this has this to say: "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends or pours out His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Now this is an example of Christ in dying for the ungodly, and how on the human level we might be willing to die for someone else who is a good man, maybe even a relative of ours. We might be willing to die for him, but we wouldn't die for a very wicked person. But Jesus looked down upon this world. He saw a wicked, sinful, degraded world. He saw people who thought themselves righteous enough, but in the eyes of God, they were filthy, dirty, lost, rotten sinners. And that's what we are. Before we trust the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we are dirty, rotten, filthy, lost sinners. So as Jesus looked down, Jesus was willing to come down and die on the cross for our sins. What a wonderful picture of forgiveness. In other words, I'm not forgiven because I deserve to be forgiven. I'm not forgiven because I have done anything so upright before God, or because my own heart is righteous before God. I am forgiven because Jesus came, died on the cross, poured out His blood, and took the punishment that I deserve. Over in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, there's another verse which points this out. "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted," and then this phrase, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. It's his last phrase I want to call to your attention. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now forgiveness is very, very difficult. It was difficult for the people of the Bible to forgive. It's difficult for us today to forgive other people. When we've been wronged, when we've been slandered in some way, when people have treated us very, very badly, forgiveness is very, very difficult. And even sometimes when we say we forgive, we do not forget. And because we don't forget, we bring up these matters again and again and again whenever the occasion arises. Suppose we say now, "All right, I forgive you for what you said about me or what you did." And then later, maybe this person fails us some other way. We bring up this matter again. God's forgiveness is not like this. God's forgiveness is complete. The psalmist speaks, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." He uses a number of illustrations to illustrate how far God removes sin from us. In other words, God completely forgives. And now we come to this subject and the problem of forgiveness. People slander us. They do bad things against us. And it's difficult for us to forgive. We're human. And it's difficult for us to forgive. And many times, in fact, we feel that we have the right not to forgive. People have wronged us. Imagine now the Apostle Paul is in prison in Philippians chapter 1. And people have sinned against him. Christians have sinned against him. He talks about those who had helped him and encouraged him. But he also talks about some who spoke the word of God and they thought to add to his affliction. If you were to read from verses 14 down to verse 18, he is dealing with this whole problem of forgiveness of other people. He said, "Some indeed preach Christ of envy and strife, but some of goodwill." He said, the one in verse 16, "The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add to my affliction in my bonds." Here's a man suffering. He needs encouragement. He needs the encouragement. He needs the words of sympathy of other Christians. And apparently there were even some preachers who were tearing him down. He says, "They're brethren, they're preaching against me. And they suppose they're even seeking to add to my affliction. Make it worse for me. Make me feel worse," in other words. Rather than encouraging, they're purposely tearing me down. And so what is his attitude to be? You know, our attitude would be, these people don't deserve forgiveness. It's not even said in this passage if these people ever came to Paul and said, "Paul, we're sincerely sorry. Please forgive us for the way we've been preaching against you." We assume, in fact, they haven't done this. But down later, the Apostle Paul has this to say, "What then? Notwithstanding in every way, whether in pretense," in other words, when they preach viciously against me, "or in truth, those who encourage me and stand with me, Christ is preached, and therein do I rejoice, and yea, I will rejoice." How could he say such a thing? How could he say that he rejoices even when people have been tearing him down? He is saying, no, they're still preaching the truth. They still are preaching the gospel, even if they don't like me. Even if they've thought to add to my affliction, they still are preaching the truth, and I rejoice in this. So what has happened? He has forgiven them. He's not holding this against them. Rather, in his heart, he has forgiven them. So here's an example of a man who is following the example of Christ himself. The entire book of Philippians is a book of joy and rejoicing. And part of it came because Paul could forgive his Roman captors, he could forgive his enemies, he could forgive even the Christians who were speaking against him, and he could in his heart still have joy. This must be our attitude as well. It's not easy to forgive, but when people wrong us and when people treat us badly, even if sometimes they do not come back and say they're sorry, we still in our hearts are to have no bitterness, no anger against them, but rather there's to be a sweet spirit in our hearts of forgiveness. Even Jesus from the cross could cry out and say, "Father, forgive them." Who is the them there? The people who had accused him, the people who had crucified him. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," he said. And so, in our lives, we also can have a forgiving spirit. And this is my prayer for you. You will be wronged in life, either by Christians or by non-Christians. And in your heart, you must have a forgiving spirit. So in any relationship, whether in the husband-wife relationship, whether in the church relationship, whatever it might be, we are to have a forgiving spirit, using Jesus as our example of forgiveness. As he has forgiven us, so we forgive others. May God help you, and may you be blessed by the Lord.